Gridiron Show. I don't know why I've gone all Robin Williams, Good Morning Vietnam, but I did it, and I do not care. Ollie Hunter, Will Gavin in the studio with you. We're going to look at the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to look at the Carolina Panthers. We'll talk to Mario Addison and Gio Bernard. There'll be another edition of the award-winning, soon-to-be award-winning, News or Not News, and the usual nonsense. This is The Gridiron Show. Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with us, me, Ollie Hunter, and him, Willie Gavin. Willie! How are you, bud?
It's so high energy in the intro, they just go, hello?
Well, I like the juxtaposition.
It really made me giggle.
Yeah, you're welcome. You are welcome, big guy.
Warm Malcolm.
What's going on?
I love that you didn't even question Warm Malcolm. I'm good, mate. I'm just sat at home, chilling out. The father-in-law is here this weekend, which means I'm meant to be tidying the house. But instead, I found myself playing Batman Arkham City and watching stuff on YouTube. So, you know, obviously, I'm well.
What a great day. When does the father-in-law arrive, and are you happy about it? Just nod once for yes and nod twice for no. I don't know. How does that work?
It's Friday lunchtime now. He arrives tomorrow lunchtime. So there's still a solid 24 hours. And no, moving on.
Does he like cricket?
Yeah, I don't know if he likes cricket. I imagine not.
For your show on Sunday, you're going to have to watch the cricket. So, I mean, it's a good excuse to get away from old father-in-law for a bit, but you know,
well, for about 8 hours, hopefully.
Yeah. It goes down to the last ball, please, just so you don't have to spend time with the old father-in-law.
Well, on Saturday night he managed to get tickets to go see Frank Skinner with Sarah. Didn't even offer me one.
Wow.
Yep, just bought two tickets for them.
Yeah, what else has he been doing to cut you out of his life?
Who knows.
Wow. Buddy, I'm sorry. Would you have wanted to go and see Frank Skinner?
Not massively, but, you know.
I think, hasn't Frank Skinner been doing, he's been doing the same shtick since Fantasy Football? Was it called Fantasy Football? Since Fantasy Football. And I think if you listen to his radio shows on Absolute, I'm pretty sure they're just the same repeated weekend after weekend.
They just repeat them with a kind of 4 week rotation.
It feels like it. It feels like, oh, I'm sure I've heard this before. No, it's just Frank Skinner. And Frank Skinner's great. And who am I to slag off a professional who's been brilliant in doing his job for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. But, yeah.
And yet you're absolutely ripping into him.
Yeah, that's what I am. That's what I've done. Frank, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. I think you're great. And I loved Fantasy Football with you and Badil.
Yeah. What a delightful human being you are.
There we go.
So I have my weekend is mainly revolving around watching England, New Zealand on Sunday. That's all I really care about. We're in a World Cup final. It's very exciting.
Isn't it amazing? 27 years.
It's really great because I feel really rewarded for buying into this World Cup early. For like really, because I was working in the early games. I was like really got into it early on.
Yeah.
Been watching it daily on Sky Sports and stuff. And you know, there's a lot of people now. I mean, immediately I tweeted something about the final on Sunday and someone replied going, I'm not going to bother watching it because I'm not going to pretend I like cricket like everyone else suddenly is. I was like, whoa, first of all, no need to be so bloody negative. Secondly, hey, I've been on the bandwagon for at least three whole weeks now.
It's been a 5-6 week tournament, so I've been really impressed that you're even catching on.
6 weeks then.
You've been catching.
6 weeks then.
There you go. You didn't even know the length of the tournament. It's flown by that quickly for you. You've loved it that much. There you go. I've dug you out of that one. But I've been impressed with the way you've picked up the vernacular. I quite like that. And that you've really bought into it, Will. I think you are one of those people that 100%, once you buy into something, you just go all in. And that's maybe one of the best things about you.
my mate Robin, who you know, Robin.
Yeah.
She got into work half an hour early this morning just so she could cover her Australian workmate's desk in match reports, a photo of Carey being hit in the head with that ball in that helmet. A photo of the ball going through Steve Smith's legs when he got nutmegged on the run out, just with just the word "megs" written underneath.
That's
it.
That's outstanding.
She's just absolutely plastered his desk and stuff. It's very.
Do you have that picture? Can I see it? And we'll add it to the headscarf.
Yeah, yeah. I will forward it on to you. Yeah, super. Absolutely.
I was ripping into Ollie Gill, who might make an appearance on the pod this week, but definitely made one last week with Akeem Hicks having a go about his Viking shirt. He's an Australian, and any time I saw him, just ripped into him. What a great guy. But you have to. Any Aussie, you just got to rip him.
Yeah, and let's be fair, in every sport other than our national sport, they have basically dominated us for basically our entire lifetimes. Yes, we've won some Ashes series. In fact, that was it. Ben Fletcher, our newsreader, asked me the other morning if I could choose a victory over Australia in the semi-final. This was the morning of the semi-final. A victory against Australia in the semi-final, no guarantee of what would happen Sunday, or an Ashes win, what would I take? And I said, you know what? I've seen Ashes victories in my lifetime. I've seen brilliant Ashes performance in my lifetime. I don't remember us getting to the World Cup final in 1992. I was like 8 years old and really didn't give a toss about cricket. So I would rather see us get to the World Cup final. I don't want us to get whitewashed in the Ashes, but that would be my preference.
Sure, it's a great shout, but a summer of England dominating Australia in Ashes day after day, match after match, game after game. All the World Cup final. Imagine seeing Australia beat New Zealand at Lord's to win the World Cup final when they've knocked us out in the semis. I'm with you. I'd pick the former.
It hurt.
And even though I'm a cricket purist and all of that, I would pick the former, 100%.
Me and Sam, Sam, who is Robin's brother, for those who don't know, our group of friends.
They look exactly the same, by the way.
Terrifying.
But he's about 2 foot taller. The same amount of thinniness, skinness.
Whether we could go on Sunday and how much tickets we're going for and StubHub, etc. And he said, I would be willing to drop a oner. And I was like, a grand? Yeah, we'll get tickets for a grand. And he was like, no, 100 quid. And I'm like, yeah, we're not getting... Like, the cheapest tickets on StubHub right now are about £1,100.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I think it's either a case of going around someone's house or finding a pub with an outdoor section and just drinking a lot of cider, getting battered watching the cricket. Either or.
Glorious, couldn't it?
Either or.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Should we stop talking about cricket and talk about American football?
Yeah, this is not a cricket podcast. It's an American football podcast. Let's 100% talk about American football.
Should we kick off with our interviews to mix it up? Maybe do like one now and one in a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's start with Mario Addison because he was bloody lovely. What a nice chap.
He was fantastic. What a giant big bear of a man who legitimately was loving being there, mixing it with the kids. He had to be dragged away from coaching his little flag football teams to come and talk to the media. I think actually a lot of the players were like that, but he seemed to really be getting involved and getting into it. On the first day, he was loving life. He loved the stadium. I was super impressed with Mario Addison.
Yeah, and it, like you said, he was super into it. He was really getting the kids going, having a great time. We talked about this last week, he was getting F.A. Obada and Christian Wade involved as well. They were loving it. It was just such good fun. And you can feel like there are some like lifelong fans who will have been made amongst those kids. Mm. Yeah, in 10 years' time, they're going to be complaining about the ticketing situation when we've got our own team. On whatever new social media exists at that point. But yeah, I thought he was an absolute delight and a great interview as well. Look out for his nickname for F.A. Obada. That's a particular highlight.
Okay.
And because the Panthers are, we're going to be getting, in fact, that comes out pretty soon. That comes out in about a week or so's time, I think. They are the feature for All or Nothing this season.
Ooh.
I ask him what we can expect from him on All or Nothing. And it's fair to say he gave a brilliant answer on it. So here is Panthers D lineman, Mr. Mario Addison.
I don't think there's anyone having more fun here today, even the kids, than you, Mario Addison.
Ah, man, you know, it's a great experience, man. You know, to see the kids come out here and compete at a high level. Because some of these kids, man, are playing their behinds off. And they're having fun doing it. So I'm very excited to see what the outcome is going to be.
Firstly, I just want to compliment you on your spectacular beard. Probably the second best out here after mine, but we'll let it be.
Hey, I can't win them all. I can't win them all. Hey, second's good too. It's still top three, right?
What do you make of this whole facility? This don't compliment the Viking shirt. He gets a big head about it.
But it's a nice shirt, though.
Do you wish it was a Panther shirt, though?
It'll look better on them, but you know. We do. Yeah.
Getting to this great facility where you guys are going to be playing in October, what have you made of this whole thing, what it is like here in the UK, the facilities that are out here, first time playing?
First, it's going to be a great experience, you know, to be able to play international, because this is for my franchise, this is the first time for my team to come over here and play. Mm-hmm. And some guys never been out of the country, so this will be a great experience for those guys. And speaking on the stadium, man, it's very awesome, and it's next level. And we got some dope stadiums, you know, in the States, but this is by far top three of all stadiums. So it's nice, man.
We came out for you, was it last season, Dolphins game? Yeah. And that was, and I loved your facility, great fans, great. We had a great time there. Yeah. So, you know, Carolina's got something to boast about itself.
Yeah, Carolina stadium is real nice. You know, our fans are, you know, the greatest fans in the whole world. You know, I had to throw that out there. And our stadium is, you know, it's nice. But this is like, man, it's like, you ever seen the movie Devilition Man?
Right, yeah.
it's like Future type stuff, you know? So, I love it, man.
Didn't expect Demolition Man to come up in conversation today.
It's the future, man. It's the future, yo.
And coming over here and playing the Bucks, a divisional rivalry, that makes that extra special as well.
Always, man. Anytime you can win a division game, man, that's what you need. And on the road, at home, anywhere. And why not beat them in London? Because that's why we play to win. So why not beat them in London?
Plus, it's an extra game that you don't have to play at theirs. It's a road game, but on a neutral site, which, you know,
I agree.
Helps you as well.
I agree. You know, they the home team here. Mm-hmm. You know, but like you say, it's neutral. So it don't matter if you home or a visitor. You're still in a neutral zone. So to us, it's a home game.
Now, unsurprisingly, I have to ask you about F.A. Obada. He's out here with you guys, working with the kids as well, representing London. Had his breakout season last season. What have you made of him in that defensive line room?
Are you talking about the Terminator? F.A. Obada? That's the Terminator. He's a great guy, man. He's very fun to be around. He works hard. He works hard all the time. And all the great plays he made, he still ain't scratched the surface yet. Like, he got so much more in him. And he's learning that, too. But for him, for a guy like that, you know, that never had football growing up, for him to just jump into the sport the way he did and learned it, to let you know he's very coachable. And when you got a guy that's coachable like that, the NFL, they'll love you. And you're going to see great things out of F.A. You know, he still ain't scratched the surface yet, so just keep an eye on that guy. He's going to be something special.
You've got guys like yourself on that line who, there's so much experience in that room, in that front seven as well. So is he picking your brains constantly? Is he trying to learn from you as well?
Always. F.A. always told me, Mario, I'm going to be better than you. I promise you. And the way he's working, you know, he'll get close. He'll get close. You know, he made me up my game now, you know. The way, you know, he approached everything. So I'm just very excited, man.
You've added other talent on that line this year as well. We see Gerald McCoy coming over, which makes this game here now, like they like to say, a revenge game. What's he added to you guys for those first couple of camps?
I'm going to start out by saying this right here. Jared McCoy is going to kill. Y'all listen to that. He's going to kill the Bucs quarterback. I don't care what quarterback back there. Jared McCoy is going to get back there and rip his head off. And you know what? I'm going to be right on the side on picking the ball up when he rips his head off. So, he's a great guy, man. You're an athlete, man. You can put him like him and K1 short. You can put them anywhere on the field. They'll make plays. So, for me to be, you know, playing on the side of those guys, it's outstanding. So, I'm going to make sure I'm in position.
It feels like that Super Bowl run to 50 when you had K1 and Star Lotulelei side by side. That was so much the strength of that team. And now you've gone back to that a bit, bringing Gerald in.
Man, I had so much fun that year. Because we got a lot of push. We got a lot of push on the inside. And you need that as pass rushers. You need two great inside. We got three great inside guys that's going to push the pocket. You know, the quarterback can't step up now. So he's going to stay back. All I got to do is run the corner, run the edge, and get a sack. So just watch out, man. Watch out for the Carolina defense, man. We stacked right now. We stacked right now. And everybody working hard. So it's going to be special for us.
And it means occasionally you get to take a play or two off on the sideline.
Yes, because we got some other guys that, you know, can do the same thing. And, you know, I can use a play or two at times, you know. I tell all the guys out there, you know, take it easy on the old man. I call myself the old man sometimes. So, you know, just having fun, man.
It was a big season of change last year as well. New ownership coming in and what it meant for the culture around the team. Obviously, the decision to bring a player like Eric Reid. And then we get the announcement this week that you guys are going to be the all or nothing season this season. Are you pumped for that coming out in July, or maybe a little bit worried about what it's going to be like seeing your whole year on camera?
Oh, man. It's kind of rough, man. I remember days that, you know, I came back in from practice, a hot practice, you know, showered, you know, got my meal. Then we went into meetings, and I caught myself sometimes, you know, dozing off. So, but when I do wake back up, I look up, the camera's right there pointing towards me. So what I had to do is, like, get some safflower seeds and to kind of eat, you know what I'm saying, kind of stay up. So I'm very kind of, you know, nervous to see how I look on film in the meeting room because, you know, I caught myself kind of dozing off a couple of times. So it's going to be very unique. But that's a good show, man. You know, that way I can see it from like, how you say this, from the inside looking in or outside looking in, however you want to word it. But it'll be fun to watch me and my teammates, you know, kind of like in the meeting rooms, the way they set it up.
I'm excited to see the Mario Addison falling asleep montage that we're inevitably going to get around episode 3 or 4.
If they didn't edit it, you'll see me more than 10 times. So I'm just letting you know, man. Look out for that.
And then just finally to ask about tail end of last season, went on that tough run, and then Ron Rivera comes in and takes over the play calling duties. Obviously a great coach there in Carolina, but what difference did that make, and what are you expecting from that side of things this season?
Ron did a tremendous job when he took over too. He knows his stuff. He's a defensive coach. And Eric Washington did a great job too. So both of those guys are going to be calling plays. So I'm excited just to see how this is going to work out. You know, I don't know who's going to be the main play caller, but both of them is hands-on. So, you know, Eric Washington, if our defense coordinator, you know, Ron is our head coach. But he did a good job. Both of them did a great job. So whoever's going to call the play, I know they're going to call the right play.
I mean, having met and spoken to Ron Rivera, he strikes me as a lovely man, but also occasionally a terrifying man. Like, if you do the wrong thing, you don't want to be on the wrong side of him.
Oh, man, I agree. I just seen Ron coming up real mad. You know, we had this one guy, you know, kind of, you know, was late for team meeting. So he tried to crawl in there, and Ron caught him, and he snapped on him. When I say Ron lost it, man, I probably never seen him that terrified in a long time. Like, he was so mad, and after that, no one else was late.
Can you tell us who it was?
Can't tell you.
I had to ask. Mario, thank you so much for your time, man. Enjoy the rest of your time in London. We'll see you back in October.
I'll be here.
Mario Addison there, and like I say, it's a week from today as we're recording. The mighty All or Nothing will return. It's a season I'm really looking forward to because the Panthers, such an up-and-down year for them last year, between Cam Newton, the injuries between new ownership coming in, all of the Eric Reid stuff, having to make the change of defensive coordinator late in the season and have Ron Rivera take over the play calling. There's loads of little intriguing storylines, which I think will make for a really good season.
And, of course, a lot of Christian McCaffrey. That's all I'm kind of watching it for. My man crush continues on Christian McCaffrey. But Cam Newton is kind of blockbuster, and we saw all of the issues that he had last season with referees at the beginning of it, and then injuries, and then Taylor Heineke coming in, Will Greer, Kyle Allen as well. Will Greer's the draft pick this year, but yeah, it will be fascinating to see what shakes down. And from a team which people had quite high hopes of and not really living up to it, we also had Greg Olsen being in and out, breaking a foot here, breaking the other foot there, that kind of stuff. So lots and lots going on. The Eric Reid thing I'm really looking forward to seeing, and how that's portrayed in the documentary as well.
I think the Panthers are going to be really good this year. They started off last year 6-2. They had that Thursday night loss to the Steelers where they got absolutely demolished. But then they lost that one-point game to Detroit when they tried for the two-point conversion late on. They slipped from 6-2 to 6-9, lost a lot of close games in that period, had a lot of injury issues, like we said. Okay, when you had that Week 15 game to kind of keep their season alive, and they played the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football, and they trailed 12-9, two-minute warning, the situation that Cam Newton has like thrived in the past. And he looked like he was throwing a shot put. He could barely get the ball. Mm. He could barely get his arm past his shoulder. They didn't even get past midfield, ended up losing the game. And they shut him down immediately at that point. He went for surgery. And if he's ready to go and throwing, and he's obviously the key, you add to that, we talked about Gerald McCoy. That was my other bit I really liked from the interview. The Gerald McCoy stuff about he's going to kill Jameis Winston. Where they play each other in London. They went out and helped the offensive line. Like, it wasn't a perfect off-season, but they've got a really good group of playmakers with DJ Moore, with Curtis Samuel, with Devin Funchess, and then obviously out of the backfield, Christian McCaffrey. With his
Funchess is gone.
Did he?
Yeah, Funchess is gone.
Oh, yeah, that's what, yeah, sorry, of course he has.
But they brought in Chris Hogan, which is a great acquisition from
7-11.
Yeah, exactly. Aldrick Robinson as well has come in. They've retained Torrey Smith, they've got Jarius Wright, who they retained from last year as well. So the wide receiving core is pretty deep, actually, and there are some playmakers on there. And then you look at the running backs, and any team that has number 22, I've waxed lyrical about him a lot, but... any team that's...
Do you know Christian McCaffrey played 97% of offensive snaps?
That is mental.
From weeks 1 through 16.
That is ridiculous.
As a running back.
Yeah. That, I mean...
He'll shut down in week 17, but otherwise it's madness. Just madness. Yeah.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, you mentioned Gerald McCoy coming in, and I think he will... I mean, obviously he's not the same player as... Julius Peppers, but it's that level of experience that they lose with Peppers retiring. McCoy will come in, and we saw from that
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. I forgot what it was. We saw from Hard Knocks a couple of years ago that he's a great guy to have in the locker room. And then alongside Mario Addison, and well, they've brought in Bruce Irvin, but our Effie Abada, Dontari Poe came on short. They are they're stacked. Defensive lineman wise on that D-line, aren't they?
They've got, it's not quite to that level of that great Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots, where they had basically an eight defensive linemen they could just rotate in constantly, but they've got a good six or seven there who they're going to be able to give people snaps off. They're going to be able to rotate them in. Like you said, players like F.A. Abada will be a great role player for them.
Mm. Who's absolutely loved in the locker room as well. They love him.
They chuffing love him.
Yeah, they really do.
I'm positive about the Panthers going into 2019. Should we do... We're going to get to Gio Bernard, but should we do some news or not news first?
News or not news. I don't have that music. Where did you leave that music? It's great music.
Put it in my folder.
Where is it? News? Is it under news or not news music?
I can't remember what I called it.
Here it is.
Did you go into my birdie? No,
it's there. It's there.
What did I call it?
News. Or
not news.
Not news. Do you want to set us off with this version of News or Not News, Episode 3?
Well, you need to deliver me the news or not news, because I haven't got everything up in front of me.
Oh, fine.
So, I've got to it. Doug Peterson coos about the newest Eagles running backs.
He's just cooing. He's just talking. That, for me, pal, is not news. What do you think?
Let's go with... I'm with you. Yeah, Miles Sanders, though, is a guy I am excited about. With Jordan Howard, I think it could be really interesting. Running backs, but Doug Peterson just talking about them. Not news. Golden Tate, the Giants have a good problem at quarterback.
Not news. Oh, no, mate.
Fluff piece.
It is a fluff piece, but we all know that Eli Manning's going to start and then get bombed out after about four games, right?
Yeah, it's a fluff piece.
It's a fluff piece. Norton, post-accident, I'm alive and grateful. This is the Dolphins defensive tackle, Kendrick Norton, on choosing what he has to focus on in the aftermath of that serious car accident last week, in which he lost a left arm. I mean, it's sad. I think that's
he obviously is news.
It is news. It's sad. It's news.
It's the first time he's spoken out since, and it was a horrible, horrible incident. And you know, as much as he's not a player that many will have been familiar with, it's horrible to see it happen. It's news that he is well and alive and grateful, as he puts it. Trade-seeking running back Duke Johnson signs with Rosenhaus. News or not news?
Not news.
I think it might be news.
Do you think it's news? I suppose it's interesting that he is seeking a trade away from the Browns.
Yeah, but we knew that already. You're right. It's not news. Yeah. I don't know why I'm trying to justify it as
news. You're trying to justify this is not news, but I think it's one for another podcast, maybe a completely different podcast. Washington cornerback Josh Norman leaps over a bull in Pamplona. I don't like this running of the bulls thing.
Have you seen the clip?
I haven't seen the clip.
Right, so I'm with you. Don't like the running of the bulls. It's cruel. I also think Josh Norman getting involved in this when he is a professional sports person. If I was the front office team in Washington, I'd be absolutely livid.
He could have got impaled on a spike.
But
there we go. Well done, boy.
But.
It's pretty spectacular. Is that what you're saying?
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, okay. So you're a torn man.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is horrible. It's animal cruelty. But the way Josh Norman managed to leap over it was quite impressive.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Melvin Gordon. Oh, there we go. A nice little pregnant pause for it to start again. Melvin Gordon will demand a trade without new deal. Is this news or is it not news, Will Gavin?
Oh, that's absolutely news.
Okay.
This is properly news. Melvin Gordon wants a new contract, which I think we're already aware of. He's going into the final year of his rookie deal, and that when you are a rookie running back, I almost think that the next CBA, something it has to do with the draft situation, is potentially look at the length of rookie deal based on position.
Mm.
Because for running backs, you can run a rookie into the absolute ground over 4 years. Do you remember when the Cowboys did it with DeMarco Murray? And
yes.
They knew he had 1 year left on his deal, and they just gave him the ball like 350, 400 times that year. He was absolutely run into the ground and he was never the same player again. He got a half decent contract after that, but not really. And I think there needs to be potentially a look at what happens when you've got someone. Here we go. I found the season. 2014 in Dallas, 392 rushing attempts.
What?
And 57 receptions. Now, he had a great season. He had 13 touchdowns, 1,800 plus yards, put another 400 through the air, so over 2,000 all-purpose yards. But he was never the same player. He hit 1,000 yards once more in Tennessee off 293 carries, but he was never that same explosive, lots of long runs, evasive. And when you're a running back, I almost think there has to be a look at it for rookies and say that running backs only have a 3-year deal. I'm trying to think of other real short-term positions.
The lifespan of a running back is far shorter than any other position anyway, isn't it? So given the wear and tear and given that teams can almost abuse and exploit a rookie running back as they come into their final year, a la DeMarco Murray, I think you're 100% right. It's just... I understand why Melvin Gordon will want to trade, and a fantastic piece of news.
Gordon is threatening to... it's the fifth and final year of his rookie deal because he was a first-round pick. He's set to earn $5.6 million this year when he's earned 10 over the first four. So it's a good year money-wise for him, because that is always the case with the fifth-year option. It takes a big jump up. And it makes him the 11th highest among running back for the season. But the fact is, if he gets injured this year... I'd say in any way seriously, and only ever gets 1 year, $1-2 million deals for the rest of his career, and it never quite takes off again, similar to DeMarco Murray, then you could end up with a situation where his career earnings are sub $20 million. Whereas if he'd signed a new deal 12 months ago after that explosive first season, he probably would have got a deal around that amount of money guaranteed. And you look at situations like what Todd Gurley's potentially going through with the Rams. I just think running backs have got a real problem with, particularly if they're going to be first round guys, just being used up over their 5 years and not having any earning potential beyond that. Whereas actually other positions, particularly stuff like pass rushers, obviously quarterbacks, you have time to earn two, maybe even three more big money deals in your career if you've got real longevity. Running backs get lucky to even get one big deal after their rookie year.
And if you think about it, a quarterback can spend an entire season, two seasons, three seasons, they can spend their entire career as a number two and still make a far, far more money than Melvin Gordon will ever make. So it's highly weighted in that point of view. It's also highly weighted towards the teams, and I can totally understand why players want to demand trades or go on strike or do such like when their earning potential is reduced just because they play one position over another position. It's I'm massively on the player's side.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I am massively, and I think he's really important to the Chargers as well.
Huge.
I'm not sure he will hold out all that long. $5.6 million is a lot of money, and he'll lose $40,000 a day he doesn't turn up to training camp, according to the CBA. That's the maximum they can fine him, and I imagine they will go to that level. So it's going to be kind of fascinating to see how long he does try and hold out. I don't think it'll be all that long.
Yeah, agree. Lynch and Peters, Marcus Lynch and Marcus Peters, throw a free carnival for Oakland kids. It's not really news, but it's a nice little tidbit.
It's lovely. It's a lovely non-news piece.
Yeah, lovely non-news piece.
But lovely not news.
Jeremy Hill is close to being cleared from an ACL tear.
This is news. Jeremy Hill had a real chance of working with the New England Patriots after a really impressive preseason in camp. You know, you've obviously got Sonny Michel there, him as well. It makes it that you don't want to be looking at it. You know, this isn't necessarily got fantasy relevance, etc., which is what you're normally looking at for running back news. But yeah, I think it is news. I think he could be really important for the Patriots this year if he's healthy.
And they got Rex Burkhead in there as well. And yeah, it is news. They love rotating their running backs, and every single one of them is relevant. And in the final bit of news or not news today, Hugh Jackson wants another chance as head coach.
Not news.
Not news. He was a special assistant in Marvin Lewis's Cincinnati Bengals 2018 after he was sacked by the Cleveland Browns. And remember the Baker Mayfield stuff. Not news. This guy should not be in football anymore.
Oh, I like him, but
he's a coordinator. Man, he was so weird.
Some coordinators are never head coaches. He's a lovely man whenever I've met him, and I have done two or three times, yeah. But some coordinators are just coordinators, and he is a good coordinator. He is not a head coach. So I'm not saying he shouldn't be back in football, but he shouldn't be a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant. But yeah, you're right. And that was news or not news. There we go. News or not news.
Oh, it was going to have a really nice ending on it there, and you just cut it off.
Well, there we go. News or not news.
It was the end of the music. Oh, what are you doing? That's literally your job.
I wasn't looking at the waveform, you know.
Your actual real-life job, and you failed at it.
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do? Shall we talk some Bengals? Let's hear from Gio, right?
Bengales? Yeah. Gio Bernard. Let's hear from the Bengals scat back. He's got a man back there with him, with Joe Mixon. They have potential to have a really big season between them. Big investment on the offensive line as well, although their rookie is now out, which I will admit I did not know at the time of this interview. But we talked about, it's fair to say that Gio Bernard is all in on new head coach Zach Taylor, as he shows during this interview.
So, we're here with Bengals running back Gio Bernard. Gio, back in London. How are you enjoying being back?
Yeah, it's awesome being back. You know, I was here first time in 2016 at Wembley. We had a game against the Redskins, but we unfortunately tied, which is quite unusual in the NFL. So, it's good to be back. We're excited to come back and play at Wembley again in October, so against the Rams. So, it should be a fun time.
You know, they say, I think in America, they say a tie is like kissing your sister. But we're used to it over here with soccer, with our football. Yeah. A tie is not that. No, with the tie, not with kissing his sister. Stop it, Ollie. But it was an overtime game. It was an exciting game. You know, how did you experience Wembley? How were the fans for you? How was the whole day?
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, we wanted to come out with the win, just like everybody in the Bengal fan base. But, like everybody said, you know, you guys are used to ties. We're not used to ties. So it was quite weird for us in that sense. But it was awesome. The atmosphere was great. It was a lot of guys' times, first time in London. And my first time, the fans were awesome, man. The whole place was packed full, and the Bengals fans showed up, and it was great to see that. But it was awesome to see the following that American football has over here in the UK, and it's awesome to see what this sport is globally. So it's a pretty cool experience.
And then in addition to that, you get the NFL running Play 60 events with the kids, trying to get involvement from a younger age, which I guess is key to getting the sport bigger over here.
Yeah, it's huge. I just know we have a guy Mo on our team. You know, he is very strong. He has all the tools. He just doesn't understand a little. You know, he hasn't been playing it for that long. So that's the biggest thing, is if you start these kids young playing the sports like this out here playing flag football, as they get older, they'll understand the game more, and they're able to build and build on those skill sets that they have. So it's awesome to have this over here and start them at a younger age and make the NFL football global.
And seeing this beautiful new facility, it's almost a shame they're back at Wembley this time. Don't get me wrong, Wembley's amazing, but out here on the nice AstroTurf, a bit easier grip under the foot, it might be a little bit easier for running back.
Yeah, for sure. It would be really nice to play here, but it is what it is. Wembley, that was one thing I actually do remember. It was a bit slippery over there, but it is what it is. It's a beautiful stadium that Tottenham has. It's cool to be able to be here and see it and kind of experience it. So, yeah.
Feels like a big turning point for the Bengals right now. Moving on from Marvin Lewis after so long, Zach Taylor coming in. How's the transition been for you guys?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Coach Taylor, he's one of those guys that he's very relatable. For a younger guy, or at least I think I'm young, for a younger guy like myself.
You're still younger than Zach Taylor. That's the main thing. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be like Sean McVay in LA, who's younger than half of his.
Yeah, so it's a little different. But having Coach Taylor there, man, it means the world to us, and not only us, but the community as well. I think everybody wanted, a little bit of a change, and Coach Lewis did an amazing job. He's turned that program around from when he took over, when he did. So, Coach Taylor, we're all behind him. We're all following. He's our leader now, and we're excited to have him. And
What's the early experience of the offense in OTAs and mini camps, the kind of wrinkles that he's going to be bringing as a younger guy working in the kind of systems he's been working in?
Yeah, you know, Coach Taylor, you know, coming over from the Rams, he's brought something very unique to us in Cincinnati, so we're really excited to have him. I'm not going to put all the secrets out
there. No, that's fine. But, I mean, are we going to see a lot of five wide, you splitting out? Are we going to see more receptions? Is that the direction you're heading in?
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch. I'm really excited about this season, not just because of the change, but because I really feel like we have the right tools in place for a really good season.
In terms of the backfield, a lot of people expecting a breakout season from Joe Mixon. Obviously, you as the now the veteran, not old guy, we won't say that, but the veteran in that locker room. What have you seen from him, and what are you expecting from you guys as that 1-2 punch this year?
Yeah, yeah, he's always been working hard. He's always one of those guys that always works hard. A good dude, young guy, up and coming for sure. I mean, well, his name's really already out there, so he's a great player, awesome asset for our team. So we're obviously honored to have him, and yeah.
Lead the league in rushing? That's what some are saying.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, it'll be really nice. You know, for us, we're always just trying to go out there and just compete, try to do the best that we can. Really, at the end of the day, it's about helping the team win. Whatever it is, I know individual stats mean a lot to some people, but really the biggest thing is to come out this season with a Super Bowl ring.
And it does feel like it's been the offense where that focus has been this offseason, drafting guys high like Jonah Williams on the line, bringing in a young tight end as well. So I guess for you guys, it's all about a chance for you to step up and show what you can do.
For sure, yeah. You know, having Coach Taylor come over from the Rams, you know, his mindset is, you know, a little bit more focused on the offense. He's the one that's putting in the playbook. He's the one spending a lot of time with the offensive players. So we understand where his focus is at. So we're really excited to have him. And, yeah.
I mean, to be playoff bound guaranteed, I think, in another division. But that AFC North, I think, looks like it might be the best in football this season.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, components going on in our division. But, you know, the biggest thing is we try not to worry about all the other teams that are, you know, adding or getting rid of players. So we just go out there and do what we can and let those, you know, let them do what they do. All we can do is just worry about ourselves. Excuse me, and just continue to keep playing hard, playing fast, and just really excited about this season.
And there's been a lot of conversation about Andy's reaching that point of a new contract coming up not too soon, how he's going to adapt to this new style of offense. I mean, I'm guessing since you've been in the league, he's been your guy, so you're backing him to take this up and run with it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Andy's been there ever since I came in 2013, so I have a lot of faith in him. He's a great player, even better teammate, so I have a lot of respect for what he's done for my family and the team, the community as well. He does a lot of great things around Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's really, really, really awesome. It's just awesome to have him there, so.
And then finally, for the fans coming over, the Rams obviously getting a lot of play at the moment, just been to the Super Bowl. They're a very good team. What are you saying to the UK fans to make sure they get behind the Bengals when you get over here in October?
Well, we stole one of their coaches. That's always a nice thing. But yeah, no, we're really excited to have Coach Taylor, man. And I think the UK fans should really be prepared for an awesome match come October. So it should be fun.
Fingers crossed we get a winner this time.
Yeah, we can't. We just can't do a tie. Just no more ties, please.
Brilliant stuff, Gio. Thank you so much for your
Thanks,
time.
Man. Yeah, man.
Gio Bernard. It's fair to say he's a big Zach Taylor fan, Ollie Hunter. I think he mentioned his name at least 73 times.
Sorry, who? Gio Bernard and Zach Taylor. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why. I wonder why he's such a fan.
Well, it's his new head coach, and he wants to make it clear that I'm still in this for the Hall.
Please don't forget me when Joe Mixon looks like he's going to have a huge year.
I think, assuming that they are better at offensive line, and I don't think they have to be phenomenal at offensive line. This is something that there is a kind of an ongoing debate around that I think is really interesting, that you've got guys like the big fella who left San Francisco and then was with the Patriots last year and then got the big money move, whose name has completely escaped me. Why am I struggling so badly with this? Why am I struggling so badly today in general?
Who was it?
I didn't even know if you were still there anymore. I literally thought that you'd just disappeared on me then. I was like, Ollie's just left me. He's so angry.
So their signings are John Miller, B.W. Webb, Kerry Wynn, Justin Evans, and John Jerry.
No, no, I was talking about last season.
Oh, last season, the signing before. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. This was all very confusing and not great work from me. But I was talking about Trent Brown, was who I was
That's
talking about.
Him.
I was screaming at the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Trent Brown was an average player in San Francisco. Good power, but overweight and never athletic enough for San Francisco's system. He goes and has one year in New England where he is made to look like an absolute superstar and then gets a big money contract in Oakland. I don't think he's going to be very good in Oakland. Do you know why he had a stellar year at the New England Patriots?
Because he was at the New England Patriots?
Because the man who gets the ball out faster than any quarterback in the NFL is Tom Brady. And when that happens, funnily enough, your tackles end up looking excellent because you end up staying clean in the pocket a lot more often. I think Trent Brown's a talented player, but I don't think he's a top 2-3 tackle, which is how he's now being paid like. And I do think that the Bengals, as long as their offensive line is average, but Zach Taylor's scheme allows for Andy Dalton to get the ball out quickly, which when you look at their running backs, you look at their ability to dump the ball off, you look at the schemes that Taylor will be running, if it's anything like what we saw in Los Angeles, lots of five wide out of the backfield stuff. I think that they have a chance to take a big jump offensively this year. And they've got some talent on defense. They're just in a really, really tough division. And it's a bit of a rebuild. I could see the Bengals are one of those teams who, if they finish 5-11, anywhere between like 5-11 and 9-7, 10-6, I wouldn't be surprised by any of those records in between the two.
The thing that they've got going for them is that defense. And it does have a bad boy of the NFL kind of DNA, doesn't it? It's got that we play hard, everyone hates us, we get picked on by the refs. Even though they've had players over the last 2 years leave that defense, there's still that DNA there, and that will take them so far. And then offensively, if they can keep AJ Green healthy, which they've really struggled to do, but if they can keep him healthy, keep Andy Dalton healthy, and there's no denying there is a chemistry there, then the way that Andy Dalton gets the ball out like a rifle rather quickly and can hit it up to AJ Green, they've got a chance. But this is Cincinnati Bengals circa 2013, 14, 15, 16, and I'm not sure that that can translate this many years after that into 2019. You've got Tyler Eifert, who they brought back, and he's never been the same player since that Pro Bowl injury.
Yeah,
and
health is a huge, huge part of this.
And with Joe Mixon there, they brought in Trayvon Williams in the draft and Rodney Anderson, and you've got Gio Bernard as their running backs. I would imagine that there'll be a lot of running. There'll be a lot of two-back systems going away from what they were doing last year, where it was either Joe Mixon or Gio Bernard on the field at one time. And I think it will be far more a running game to ease the load on Dalton and AJ Green. And we're expecting John Ross to potentially do something at the wide receivers. And Tyler Boyd was decent when AJ Green went down, so they do have the talent, but I'm more expecting hard AFC North running football on the ground from the Bengals this year.
I think that's us kind of wrapped up. Is there anything else we need to touch on? Obviously, touchdown trips, tour, all of that is still happening, so you can still get involved in that. It's an absolute bargain. They're going to some great stadiums, the Big House, Lambeau
Big Field. House.
On going to getting a special tour of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It will well be worth your time and money. That brilliant Brown Steelers Thursday night game heading up to Detroit as well, which is a great city to watch football in. I'm a big fan of everything that's happening there, so you can get involved in that as well.
At Touchdown Trips on Twitter, at Gridiron, at Will Gav. Is it, or is it Talk Gav? Did you change it yet?
It's still Will Gav, and it will never be anything different.
At Will Gav, at Ollie Hunter. I would like to find out if people can tweet us, at Gridiron, if they are either a Cincinnati Bengals fan or a Detroit Lions fan. Because you and I had a little conversation off air about the least supported teams in the country, in the UK. And I think it might be those two teams.
They're certainly not particularly vocal fan bases.
No.
If they are well supported. The problem is that you've got teams who you wouldn't have thought were well supported here, like the Browns. And I see more UK Browns backers, than I do, certainly. There's a few who are a bit like this. The Texans, I don't see a lot of British Texans fans.
No.
Trying to think who else. Texas, the Bills are quite kind of, I'd say, would load down on the supporting
Cardinals list. There's not many Cardinals, are there?
I don't know. I know a couple of Cardinals fans personally, but I don't know a huge number of them. I'd say they're definitely the least supported team in the NFC West, that's for sure.
Whoa, throwing some shade at the other teams in the NFC West. Well, just
the Bucks just, are in that conversation.
Yeah,
I think there are a few there. Like, it's kind of because of exposure. It's because they're in cities that aren't necessarily cool cities. Mm. So if you support an uncool NFL team, then let us know.
A minority team. We want to hear from you. And tell us why you support them.
Brilliant.
Yeah, why not?
Ollie Hunter, any final thoughts?
I've had some interesting work developments that I will tell you at some other time. So at the moment, I'm kind of loving life. There's stuff going on. It's all good.
Wicked. I'm glad to hear it.
Thanks,
let's finish the podcast and then you can tell me.
Let's finish the podcast and then chat.
All right. Catch you later, guys.